Good afternoon. This is Sydney speaking with Double Line.
Hi, Sydney. It's Matt.
Hi, Matt.
How are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
Whoa, that was loud.
Sorry, I was moving the phone.
So Millen got out late from a meeting. He's going to be here and might be a couple minutes late, but he's on his way.
Okay.
And we do not have Melissa yet, correct?
I believe we're the first two on the call.
Okay.
We are a little bit early, so I think yet, so we'll just wait a moment.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Melissa from CIC. How are you?
Good. I'm Melissa. This is Matt Hastings.
Hi, Matt.
And I think...
Hi there, I'm here. This is Sarah Trombley.
Oh, great.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
And Paige Fox.
Hello, Paige.
Hello.
And I believe we have our partners at Double Line on the call as well.
Hi, everybody. This is Sydney Wainer with Double Line. And we're also going to have Millen join us in just a minute. He got delayed from another meeting, and he's on his way.
Hello.
And
while we're waiting. I'm sorry,
then,
go ahead.
And then Ed Comer might be able to join also. He's our VP of Business Development.
Okay, great. I have one question for you, and I'm sorry I didn't send it earlier. I was looking at the website that you had sent links for just a few minutes ago, and I realized that there are several of the links that don't work without a password. Did you guys send us the password, and did I just miss it?
I believe that you'll need to go out and request an account, and that somebody here will authorize and send that. I have not sent you a password for any of the links.
Okay, got it. So we'll set up accounts then.
Right. And I can also talk with the vendor engagement team. We can also set up kind of a domain for your company's email, and that will allow multiple people in, I believe. We're talking with Sarah and Melissa and Paige.
Yes, that's correct.
IT. And Millen just came into the room.
Hey
so
there.
Millen.
Hello.
And then we've got Matt Hastings on the phone also.
Cool.
So they were just commenting that they were looking at the links we sent for the Zendesk site and realizing that a couple of the links may need a password. So we were talking about setting up an account on Zendesk.
Yeah, yeah, we can just set, if you go to sign in and sign up, it's weird. You have to go to sign in, and then there's a sign up link from there.
Yep, I just did it, and so you guys should have gotten my request.
Okay, cool. So yeah, once you sign up, and once I get back to my desk, I'll add permissions for you to access
Nebraska.
Any Nebraska specific documentation that we've written, and so
okay,
anybody
great.
Else that signs up with your same email address domain. Will automatically have access.
Okay, great.
Very good. Well, I think, and this is Matt Hastings, I think the purpose of the call today is to be able to provide, Melissa, you and your technical folks a little bit of insight into what exactly we're asking Infinite Campus to partner with us on in Nebraska. And we had a conversation, I guess it was last week, about that. And, again, I want to underscore that I appreciate the telephone call, and I appreciate you reaching out to us. And we're very pleased to walk through some of this. So I think the purpose today is to try to provide an overview for you and for your team. What exactly are we asking technically? And then to just kind of see where we can go from there. Is that a fair sort of assessment
yeah.
of what we're trying to do?
I think you nailed it. Yep, I think that we need to know all of those things, and the more information, the better. And we're all happy to be on the call today, too, and to start kind of getting this relationship going and helping get our Nebraska customers what they need.
Excellent.
So as a baseline, I think what would be helpful is if you guys just want to tell us high level what you know so far, and then we can take it from there. Would that work?
Yeah. So I can speak for the group. So just so you folks at Double Line understand who we are and what we bring to the table here, we are Infinite Campus's business partner, and we work in 7 states across the country, one of those being Nebraska. And we provide sales services as well as support, training, implementation management, and ongoing account management for those customers. And so we're supporting Infinite Campus every day. We're basically the face of Infinite Campus for all those customers in Nebraska.
Wow.
And what we understand up to this point is that we have a couple of districts who are engaged in the pilot for the dashboard. And from the conversation that I had with Matt, it sounds as if that project is going to be evolving into from the dashboard and also a way to submit data to NDE. So that's kind of what I understand so far. Paige Fox is on the phone. Paige is the person who works directly with Nebraska for state reporting issues for Infinite Campus and tries to stay abreast of those issues. Paige also worked for 2 different school districts in Nebraska, so she's actually been on the other side and in the shoes of our customers in doing state reporting and then also in just kind of general Nebraska issues from a customer's perspective. Sarah Trombley, who's on the phone with us, is one of our developers here. She's been with CIC a number of years, and she does quite a bit. She does individual development, so she does custom programming for our customers, as well as working with some other products that we work with. So Sarah's kind of our techie person on that side. And then I manage all of our groups of everyone who provides services here at CIC. So that kind of gives you an idea of where we're coming from. And as far as the details of the project, we know very little at this point, other than just the conversations that I've had with Matt and Paige and Sarah. I think don't have quite as much information as even what I do. I've relayed to them the conversation that I have with Matt, but beyond that, we haven't had many more discussions.
Okay. Fair enough.
So I think it would be reasonable, I think, if you wanted to kind of start from scratch, we would be I would be willing to hear it a second time just so it sinks in a little bit better.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think there's two separate pieces we should cover then. One is I can give you a high level of the technology and how it works, and we'll do very high level for now, and then many questions I'm sure will come out from your side, and we can either do that, you know, dive in deeper in another meeting where we have a screen share and, you know, I show you diagrams and stuff like that. So I think that's one part of the discussion. The other part is I'll give you an overview of the technology and then hand it off to Matt, and he can talk to you about the impact on state-level reporting. Does that sound fair, Matt?
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Okay, cool. So
okay, sounds good.
At a high level, what we have is a state-level data collection methodology. So at the center of it all, have you interacted with the EdFi data model at all, data standard?
I have not. Nope, we have not. This is our first entree into working with anything like this.
Okay, all right. So the EdFi data standard is a data standard funded by the Michael and Susan Dell Foundation, currently adopted in close to 20 states at this point. But this infrastructure that we're talking about is being deployed in two states right now, and by the time it rolls out to Nebraska, there will be the fourth state, or maybe three and a half, something like that, because there's a kind of half state implementation there. Somewhere in the middle. And so what this technology stack focuses on is getting data across the state collected in the EdFi data standard. And so at the center of it, you have a statewide ODS that stores student grades, student attendance, discipline, eventually assessment scores, teacher associations to students and so on in the central data store across the state. On top of that data store, we have a layer of security that's implemented by an API, a REST API. And so you're going to have, you have all these SIS vendors interacting with the REST API and sending data for their respective district, right? So every vendor has a district or a set of districts that they represent, and they're going to be sending data as changes are being made within their SIS. They're going to be popping off, I call it echoing calls to the API and letting the API know, hey, there's this new grade. Hey, this grade got updated. Hey, there's this new attendance record. Hey, the student got enrolled. Hey, the student, was withdrawn, and so on. And
so you're asking, so I'm sorry to interrupt you, but let me just clarify something.
Yeah, yeah.
So as transactions occur in the student information system, you're expecting that data to be sent transactionally through the API to the data store.
Correct. So there's two ways to get data into the data store, right, through the API. One is transactionally, which is done in what we call near real time. And I can talk to you a bit about how the other vendors are implementing that and why it's not quite real time and why it's near real time.
Sure.
And so that's one way of doing it. And then the other way of doing it is through bulk operations via XML. And so the transactional or JSON, it's just different serialization, but You know, it's just different flavors of the same data, right? And so the bulk uploads are done in various cases, one of which is if you're loading a bunch of historical data for a district, you would prep an XML file on the EDFI data standard. This could be, you know, a gig, a couple gigs, whatever, and you prep it on your side, and then you throw it at the REST API, and the REST API basically breaks down the XML file and inserts the data into the ODS. So bulk is done for historical data. It's done for, you know, beginning of semester / school year enrollment data. And then it could also be done if you just something goes wrong, because things go wrong from time to time, right? And so if the systems disconnect and you need to catch up and you just want to send a massive bulk payload, you can do that.
Okay. Historical data, and I'm sorry to interrupt again, when you say historical data, what kind of how much historical data are we talking about? Would a district be sending you data for last year or the previous 2 years or something like that? What are the expectations there?
So that's a great question. That depends on state to state. So I'll throw that one back at Matt.
In our conversations with the pilot districts, we have essentially said that they can determine how far back they want to go based on what they want to have access to in the dashboard, essentially. And primarily where we kind of landed among the pilot districts was that they felt being able to go 3 to 5 years, if they had the data available, would be ideal.
And so what I get from that, Matt, is that there's no, in Nebraska, there's no state level requirement for historical. It's done district by district.
We're not requiring that to happen. That's really based on the wants and needs of our school districts. In our conversations with them, and the pilot group is really focused on building the dashboard, it's much more valuable to them if they can look back 3, 4, 5 years than it is to just, you know, start fresh now. So the general consensus seems to be 3 to 5 years back, assuming the data lives or is existing, and if it's not there, then it's not there, and we just move forward.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, so that's what bulk is used for. And then transactional, the way vendors are doing that today is, you know, number one, we've provided an SDK, or actually what we refer to as an SDK generator, because it's truly what it is. And any of the vendors can access it. In fact, from Zendesk, from even the publicly accessible links, you'll find a link to the SDK generator. And basically what that is, you know, you say you're working in 7 states, right? So let's say all 7 of these states adopted the API, adopted the same infrastructure. Well, every state can adopt it slightly differently. There's, you know, the EDFI data standard has this core set of data, but then you can add, I'm kind of hopping around here. Sorry, this is what happens when I come in without a presentation.
That's
so
okay. I'm following you.
Bear with me. So, the EDFI data standard has these core data sets, right? Or, you know, pieces of data that can be collected. But each state will want to throw in their own flavors. They'll say, oh, well, you know, we collect this other piece of data. You know, it could be an entire, you know, essentially what amounts to an entirely new table, or it could be a couple of new columns or new elements, right?
Yeah.
And so they'll add those on as extensions. Those will be their, you know, we've got the Tennessee extensions, the Arizona extensions, the Nebraska extensions, and so on.
Gotcha. So they're not modifying the core. They're just, these are in addition to what the core data set is.
We normally try to make sure that they're additive and that they're not taking anything away.
Gotcha.
So the SDK, what that does is it just gives your developers an easier way of interacting with the API, so they don't need to go handwriting a bunch of, you know, client-side code, classes, and API method calls and all these things to do that stuff.
Gotcha. So once we do it, we don't have to do it again.
Well, yeah, so kind of. So what the SDK generator does is you download it, and you can point it at Tennessee's REST API, and you can say generate an SDK for me that's Tennessee specific, and boom, you've got an SDK with a Tennessee flavor on it. And then you can point it at the Nebraska version and say, give me a Nebraska version of the SDK, and you have the Nebraska version with their specific extensions. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah.
So we're just trying to provide you an easier ramp-up path. And the SDK generator supports C# and Java. I don't know, are you guys, what is Infinite Campus? Is that, what is that written in? What's the tool, what's the development suite there?
It has, we're kind of transitioning from Java to, in some cases, HTML5.
Okay, but
and
the back end is Java?
The back end is SQL.
Okay, all right. So, but C# or Java, I assume, will work for you guys, right, one or the other?
I would think so, yes.
Okay. So, where was I going? So the SDK, you can generate that or use that to generate different flavors for every state, so that'll provide you, you know, faster ramp-up as you move from state to state. And so the way that the vendors are interacting with the system transactionally is that they use the SDK generator, and instead of, and this is just, doesn't have to be the way you do it, but the more I think about it and the more I hear vendors talk about doing this, the more it seems to make sense, is that they don't actually make the calls within their application. In other words, if they have a screen that says, all right, I'm enrolling a student, and they click submit, and it saves that to the database, it's not like immediately a call goes off to the API to enroll that student.
Okay.
The way these vendors have been doing it is they set up a separate service to basically watch for changes in the database, and as soon as data changes, it pops off a call to the API. They wanted to create a separation because, you know, as I said before, things can go wrong, right? And if there's a communication error in between the application and the API, they just don't want that holding back the application. And so they use the service as like a queuing mechanism. And the service typically will, you know, kind of run every 10 minutes or every 15
sure.
minutes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say near real time, that's what I'm referring to, that there's a little bit of lag, but it's more or less real-time changes.
Now, when we're talking about different transactions, sending transactionally, are
mm-hmm.
there a specific set of transactions that are required then, that when those transactions occur, that's when we send data?
Correct. There are different requirements per state, and we have that documented in the online documentation.
Okay.
That said, I'm not sure how far we've gone with the Nebraska documentation on Zendesk, so I need to go check up on that. But if it's not there yet, it will be.
We plan to post the REST, the XSD with extensions sometime mid-June.
Mid-June? Okay. So mid-June you'll have all that info. What do we have up there now in the Nebraska section, do you know?
We've identified the extensions based on the original analysis,
okay.
But not in an XSD format.
Oh.
And then we also provided a UDD because some of the vendors weren't familiar with EDFI and the dashboard requirements. And so the UDD also helps them identify what data in the EDFI standard is required for a dashboard implementation.
Okay.
So we're focusing on the two aspects. One is, you know, populating the right data to build an accountability system, and then the other is to populate a student dashboard. So what's out there right now, and I was speaking to Millen, what's out there right now is some documentation that's based on the EDFI standard and for the current release, which is version 1.2. And then we'll be updating that for the new transactional version, which we affectionately call V.next.
Okay, so I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
So how will the state be using then all of this data that's being sent in near real time?
I'm sorry, say that again.
How at the state level, how are you expecting then, what do you benefit by receiving all of this data in near real time, other than the districts being able to have their dashboards updated and see that data, as they want to reflect it in their dashboards? From a state reporting perspective and the data collection perspective, will the state be using it in near real time as they collect it?
And so that's one I'll throw back to Matt.
Right, and right now the answer is no. We don't have a near real-time need for that data. In fact, we don't plan on even accessing the majority of that data that would be reflected back to a school district on the dashboard. We would simply utilize right now the idea is to just utilize that data that will be there from districts that are using the dashboard or have an interest in the dashboard, to utilize that process for accountability data, collecting accountability data, because they're already getting that. Right, we would basically set up a process whereby, we would have our deadlines, data submission deadlines, just like we do now, and once a year capture that information.
So I'm going to jump in here. There's the room that we're in right now actually has kind of a high-level diagram on the board for the Nebraska pieces. So I'm going to mention that there are three major items that we're working on for this project. One is the dashboard. The second is a data warehouse. And then the third is an accountability data mart with the idea that over the long term, accountability data collection and reporting could potentially be done from the data that's collected via the EDFI model.
Okay, that makes sense.
So for the initial pilot, we're primarily focused on the data for the dashboards. And collecting the data that would be used for accountability. Then after the initial dashboard pilot starts, we plan to have a pilot for the data warehouse, followed up by an accountability pilot in the spring of next year.
So one of the other pieces, I guess. Well, let me hold off on that, and I'll let Millen continue and on the technical pieces of this.
I kind of hit the end of the road and was waiting for questions, so you go
okay.
Ahead.
Well, I guess what I was just sharing, Melissa, is one of the other pieces that sort of fall in line with our vision of where we're going with this is for accountability purposes, as I said, we would plan to continue, that just being an annual piece where the district would be able to push, in a sense, the data from that ODS to us for accountability purposes. But another one of the uses, I guess, of that data warehouse that has been collecting information sort of transactionally is we would plan to provide an additional application. So in addition to the dashboard as a tool that a teacher uses day to day in a classroom to help support their decisions and their strategies, would be to over time add additional applications for that the school districts can access to analyze the data that resides in the warehouse. A stronger analytics type tool is one of the first sort of pieces that comes to mind, and then additional pieces, applications as districts express interest in those.
What would be an example of that, Matt? In addition to the more detailed or the more robust analytics tool, what else are you envisioning?
Well, I think, you know, some of the pieces that we've talked about is potential connection to learning management systems, like the learning object repository type systems, other systems like that that might inform or support instruction in the classroom.
I see. Okay.
The reality is we don't have a mechanism to be able to provide support or services to school districts in that realm unless we have a sort of Nebraska data standard on which we're all operating. So we can provide applications or solutions to support school districts basically on a standardized format. And that's where really sort of taking the EDFI data model or data standard and expanding that for the unique purposes of Nebraska for accountability and other reasons, you know, adding the extensions to that, thus forming the Nebraska data standard, if you will, becomes the backbone of essentially what we're doing. And then adding the educational applications to that as needs arise or as school districts demand or et cetera. So that's really the vision and the long-term idea here. You know, the EDFI happens to be the standard that we liked and was working well. We like the idea that other states are implementing the standard with their unique extensions as well, but are creating customizations to the dashboard and other sort of applications that, because it's essentially built on the same data standard and infrastructure, they can share those resources with us. So, for example, some of the there's a lot of race to the top states that received a lot of money to create some of these different tools to support education. And while Nebraska was not a race to the top state, we can partner with Delaware and we can partner with Arkansas and Texas and other states that are using race to the top funds to create some of these pieces. And we can essentially use that technology, customize it for Nebraska and plug it in. And so there's a great value for that we see for us.
Gotcha.
So that's really kind of that's not per se the technical piece, but that's the larger vision, you know, where we're going. And I think if you have any conversations with our new commissioner, you know, he's very intent on the department being focused on helping to build the support systems that individual school districts, you know, can't do necessarily on their own, that there are pieces that necessarily the department needs to help support the system to create those opportunities for the school districts. And so that's, you know, influencing a lot of the vision on this too. So anyway, that hopefully gives you kind of a glimpse into the thought.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. So can you explain to me then, and I think this is the same question that I asked you when we were on the phone before, what are the expectations today of, you know, what expectations do you have of not just us, but all of your vendors, all the SIS vendors today? What do you want us to do?
Well, what I mean, right now, the only expectations that I have of vendors in Nebraska, I guess, would be, you know, to meet their needs for accountability purposes. That's for Nebraska school districts generally. Now, for those school districts that have voluntarily agreed to sort of be part of this pilot process,
sure,
what we want to do is have a conversation, and those, as I shared with you, there are three CIS vendors involved that represent those particular schools,
mm-hmm,
Infinite Campus being one of those. For those particular vendors, what I would like, or what we're trying to do, is have a conversation about just this, sharing the vision of what we're trying to do, trying to kind of lay out the roadmap, and basically asking if those vendors would be willing to create this interface on behalf of the school districts, with an understanding that this is sort of the direction that we're moving. And in many cases, this same process is going on in some way, shape, or form in other states. And that it was not necessarily just a Nebraska request, but there are multiple states, Arizona and others, that are doing the same piece, where we believe...
Yeah, if you would, tell me, you mentioned before that there would be three other states that would kind of be, or three and a half other states. Which other states are they? I heard Arizona, I heard Delaware at one point, but were you referring to Delaware as in Race to the Top state or as a state using the EDFI standards?
Right, both. But, Millen, I think you could probably give us more authoritative naming of the specific states that are in practice currently adopting this, and maybe all one of those have it on their near-term agenda.
Yeah, Matt, why do you have to put me on the spot, buddy?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're like testing my memory. Okay.
Are you asking for the V-next states or all 20?
Right. Well, I mean, that's another distinction, I guess, that would probably need to be made, is there are sort of the different versions of this. If you take them all together, I think they're like Sydney said, Melissa, there would be 20-some states. And that's part of the conversation that, you know, we're trying to have with Infinite Campus, to provide insight on who is all doing what and how does it relate and how much of it overlaps. And so...
Yeah, and I'm interested in that for that reason. So of the states, of these 20 states, how many of them have a working data model using the process that you've described? I mean,
yeah.
Is there a state that I can go to and say, yeah, okay, this is done and the specs are clear and it's
in
progress?
So Tennessee is the first, and they're literally going live this week. The production environment's being set up as I speak, and it's going live this week. Now, what we have up to this point, the more telling piece of it, is that in Tennessee, we've been working with five vendors to adopt the data standard, and not just the data standard, but the entire infrastructure, right? You know, working with the API and so on. And we've been working with them for a number of months now. And so the way that they interact with the system now is just through our sandbox, our testing environment, where they can go in and basically spin up a new sandbox environment to test against. And start submitting data just for their development purposes. And we're now going through a validation process with the vendors where we have a set of test cases, and we get on basically a go-to meeting with them and have them walk through these test cases where they pull up their sys and do a screen share, and we say, okay, you know, enter a student, and then we check to make sure the sandbox received it. And then we say, okay, enroll that student, and then unenroll. And we're going through these test cases and making sure that the data gets there. So that's the process where we are today.
Okay, and then in addition to Tennessee, what are the other states?
Arizona goes live July 2nd. And then there's a half, it's not really even a half, I just consider it a half, is a district in Colorado, and they go live pretty soon, but they're kind of taking a different route. They're not having the actual vendors integrate. They're kind of doing an internal integration, but it's more or less the same stack.
Who is that district?
DSST.
Excuse me?
DSST.
What's DSST? What does that stand for?
It's Denver. It's like a charter school group or something like that. Denver Science Technology. I can't remember what the exact acronym stands for.
Are they part of Denver Public?
They are actually, I believe, an Infinite Campus user.
Yeah, that's why I was asking. Are they part of Denver Public Schools, or do you know? Are they a separate group? I would assume that it's likely that they're an Infinite Campus user. I'm just trying to figure out who the entity is that I would go through to find out more about what they're doing.
I don't know.
Denver School of Science and Technology, I think.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
okay.
And by the way,
our DPS people then.
And by the way, Arizona
It's Denver School of Science and Technology, and it, I believe, is one of the Denver public schools. I'm Googling them.
Okay, well, I can do that, too, when we're done here. What were you going to say about Arizona?
Yeah. Arizona is also trying to engage with Infinite Campus as well.
Yeah,
so,
I know we have a number of districts in Arizona. They're supported directly by Infinite Campus. And so I can reach out to them, too, and see what kind of work has been done up to this point. Have you had similar conversations with the people from Infinite Campus in the context of Arizona, like what we're having now? Or?
Yes.
Okay. And who is the person that you're talking to? Is that John Barry?
Yes.
Okay, great.
And we've talked to a couple of his architects and a couple of the technical staff that are specific to the Arizona area.
Okay, great.
So I think part of this thread of the discussion began, Melissa, with you asking me about what our expectations were. And I just want to make sure that I provide a clear answer to you for that.
Okay.
So I think what our expectation is, what we're hoping for, I guess, is that ultimately that Infinite Campus would be willing to create and provide an interface and support for the EdFi system that we're developing. Starting with two pilot districts that use Infinite Campus, McCook and in Omaha. That's our hope. But I recognize, as I have shared on our call before, that you know that might not fit into the business model or the plan for Infinite Campus, and I understand that completely. And if that's the case, and you know, there's not an interest among Infinite Campus or their partners to do that, or there's not an interest in doing it right now, then to simply share that with us, you know, and let us know that we understand what you're asking for and that's not something we're willing to do, so we can pursue other options. That's
sure, I understand.
For the expectations.
Yep, I understand. And I think that this has been really helpful today. I appreciate you guys taking the time to kind of take us through where you're headed and what you're doing from a technical aspect. And I think that once we have access to those file layouts and the rest of the information on the site, we'll do some more investigation. I'll reach out, like I mentioned to you before, Matt, I'll reach out to John Barry and see how far along they've gotten with the Arizona stuff,
mm-hmm.
And see if we can kind of piggyback on what they're doing here in Nebraska as well. I mean, that's ideal, right? I mean, that's what the dream is. That's what I heard you say is that...
That's right.
Once we have it in one state, we don't have to worry about it for other states. Slight modifications and that's it.
That's right. And that's terrific, and I very much appreciate that. And the other thing that I would say is, you know, it's not necessarily a one-way conversation. If there are pieces as well that, you know, as... Infinite Campus would say, yes, we're interested in doing this, and you know, but they have recommended suggestions and changes. You know, we're flexible in making this work for everybody, and I really mean that. It just the hope is that they would be willing to support this and create the interface, but if not, I respect that, and just, you know, like I said, just let us know.
I gotcha. Yeah. No, I think that we can reach some sort of an agreement. Certainly, you know, considering the number of customers that we have in Nebraska, I don't think that we can leave people high and dry. And where we, and I think I mentioned this to you before, where we really get very interested and can put, you know, lay some money out for this is when it becomes a true requirement of the state. Right now, during the pilot stages, we'll figure out, you know, kind of where we fit into this whole thing and see what we can do to help. But certainly, once any of this is required of your districts, I will have resources assigned to do all of the work. So I think it's kind of a couple phased implementation for us.
Right, and I understand that. The thing is, what we were trying to do is not come out of the gate making this a requirement, but rather having it be a pilot opportunity so we can create the quote-unquote requirement as is most practical for the districts and their vendors.
I understand.
And so so that's what I tried to share with Infinite Campus is that, you know, I recognize this as more work or new work or whatever on somebody's plate, but if, and I've already shared with you, this is the vision and this is the direction we're going for the future. And so I'd like to think that there's a value for Infinite Campus to be one of the first three out of the gate to have the solution. So when the requirement comes down, you already have it done.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. Okay, I gotcha. Well, thanks, guys. Hey, Matt, I have a couple questions for you that I don't think anybody else on the call is going to really care about. Can you and I stay on, or can I give you a call back at your desk so that I can talk through a couple things with you?
Sure, that'd be fine.
Okay, great. Tell me again your desk number.
Yep, it's 402-471-4483.
Okay, I'll call you right back. Thanks, everybody from Double Line, too. I really appreciate your information, and we'll be going through those files just as soon as we get the passwords.
Great. And you know, even the stuff you find in CORE should help you a ton.
Okay.
Because really all you're going to find in the Nebraska stuff is just the Nebraska, basically the Delta, right, the Nebraska extension.
Yeah.
But just even looking at CORE should give you 80% of what you need to know.
Okay, that makes sense. Thanks so much, guys.
Cool.
I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.